So what happened in last chapter?
Genealogy.
So who married whom? So many people married so many people and so many children, newborns were there and
16 daughters.
But the most amazing among all of them was?
Narayan
Rishi. But yeah, but what really captivated our Vidura's attention was
Sati.
So we'll continue with this very anomalous story here, because first verse describes what that anomaly is. Vidura uvacha.
Vidura uvacha.
Aveshilavatam sreshte.
Aveshilavatam sreshte.
Daksho duhitri vatsalah.
Daksho duhitri vatsalah.
Nidvesham akarot kasmat.
Nidvesham akarot kasmat.
Anadityatma jam satim.
Anadityatma jam satim.
Vidura inquired, why was Daksha, who was so affectionate towards his daughter, envious of Lord Shiva, who was the best among the gentle? Why did he neglect his daughter Sati?
So, Bhave, Shilavatam Shreshte, it is not that Lord Shiva, who is among the gentle and is the best Shreshta, then the husband is good. And did Daksha, okay, maybe the enmity may not be with the son-in-law, maybe the daughter and father itself, maybe they had some history, they were never compatible or something. No, not even like that. It is Daksha Duhitri Vatsalaha. So, which number was Sati's number among all the daughters of Daksha?
16.
Last. So, youngest among all of them. So, youngest child usually gets maximum affection. So, Daksha Duhitri Vatsala. So, she is a Vatsala. She is most affectionate to him. So, what could be such a grievous sin that she committed, because of which she ended committing suicide in such a young age? Remember, we discussed she was not even mature that time. She didn't even bear a child. So, what could be such a serious issue that happened, right, that she committed suicide? So, in the Vedic time, if some great abnormality had happened, it would completely shake people up, right? Like, but today it has become so common, you know, like Garbhagwaz was mentioning, when the first divorce case took place in India, there was like every day it was a court hearing, right? So daily updates used to come in the newspaper. Aaj court ne ye bola, today the lawyer argument this and the defendant said this, as I said, both sides were saying this. So the entire daily updates were coming in the newspaper front page of the first divorce case in India. That is like a divorce was unheard of in India. Right? Today, if somebody is still there, then probably they will come in the news. If somebody is still together for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, then probably they will come in the news that, hey, these people are there together. So like that's why it's a major thing. So that's why it would completely shock up Vidura. So in the second chapter of fourth canto, the cause of dissension between Shiva and Daksha, which was due to the great Daksha Yajna, is explained. So Lord Shiva, he has explained as the best of the gentle. So Shiva basically means?
Auspicious.
All auspicious. Shivatvam. So nobody can be enemy of Lord Shiva. So how can you have enmity with the most auspicious personality, Shiva? No one can be enemy of Lord Shiva, for he is so powerful and yet renounced that he does not even construct a house for his residence. He lives under a tree, always detached from all worldly things. So what happened when Lord Shiva built his house?
He
again gave it back in charity to the Brahmanas who came for the housewarming ceremony. So personality of Lord Shiva symbolizes the best of gentleness. So like that. So not only that, Lord Shiva has more qualification. Kastam chara chara gurum.
Kastam chara chara gurum.
Nirvairam shanta vigraham.
Nirvairam shanta vigraham.
Atmaramam katham dveshti.
Atmaramam katham dveshti.
Jagato daivatam mahat.
Jagato daivatam mahat.
Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the entire world, entire world is free from enmity, is a peaceful personality, and is always satisfied himself. He is the greatest among the demigods. How is it possible that Daksha could be inimical towards such an auspicious personality?
So he is Chara Achara Gurum. He is Guru, he is proper and purpose. How a whole Rudra Sampradaya exists. He is the founder of that Sampradaya. So he is the Adi Guru. He is Nirvairam, and such a Guru, he is totally non-envious. He is Shantavigraham, is completely peaceful. He is Atma Ramam, completely self-satisfied, as we saw in the previous verse also. He doesn't want to build any house for himself. He is Jagato Daivatam Mahat, among all the Devokrinev
Mahadehi.
Like that. So he is Sarva Devat, Jagatam Devatam Mahat. Like that. So how could anybody have any issues with Lord Shiva? He is the spiritual master of everyone, both the dull and demoniac and the highly learned Vaishnava. This is the specialty of Lord Shiva. He has disciples from all range. From like very advanced Vaishnavas also, like take his association, Sanatana Goswami took association of Lord Shiva. Who else took association of Lord Shiva? So Prachetas took association of Lord Shiva. Then Chitraketu was good friend of Lord Shiva. Then who else? Chitraketu episode. How did he get caused as Vitrasur? So they were very good friends. So jokingly he said something, but Mother Parvati mistook that statement. Then what else? Who else was got association of Lord Shiva?
Negative.
No, for any good acharyas, Vaishnavas, and
Vallabhacharya before he was worshipper of Shiva.
Vallabhacharya was a Shaiva. I am not aware of that. That is Vishnu Swam. So like that. Then
Hanumanji
is Shiva's Amsha. Like that. Then the other extreme, what you say? And even all the bhutas, pretas, ghosts and hobgoblins, all of them are also taken care of by Lord Shiva. So there is a wide range of preaching audience. Like that. Hobgoblins are like little
greenish color.
Sorry?
Greenish people without body.
Greenish people without body. Okay. You watch it in Harry Potter?
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man? Yeah, what's his name? What is that guy's name?
The father of the Harry.
Yeah, yeah. So he's among all the Spider-Man villains, he's the most popular villain, by the way. Yeah, not him. So he's a good goblin, he's a good goblin, I'm sure. Anyway.
No.
Google!
No,
just kidding.
An ugly or evil creature that plays tricks in children's stories.
Yeah.
Something that causes fear or worry.
So they are like pisachas, yeah, like that. Pisachas. Casper is a bhuta. Pisachas are like same category, same tattva. They are like not, they don't kill people or something. They are not like that. They just create fear. They say, ha ha and hoo hoo. What is it? Ha ha, you remember ha ha and hoo hoo?
Who became later?
Vajendra.
नहीं वो तो है ही वो नो ये नाम popular नाम है but who is who in Vrindavan?
वो कृष्णा को मदर यशोदा बोल
अविला हो
गया हाँ sorry अविला yes sorry overlap memory overlap अविला yes
अविला
so that
अविला
how okay so like that. So that stones which look like so they're like they'll come and trouble like scary little monsters like that. So that is so all of them are taken care. So basically it means to say that Lord Shiva does not see any qualifications of people. Irrespective of and how can you have enmity with such a personality who does not see any disqualification others? So that is Vidura's big astonishment.
एतदाख्यायी मे ब्रह्मन्
जामातु स्वसुरस्य च
जामातु स्वसुरस्य च
विद्वेषस्तु
यतः प्राणान्
त्यजे दुस्त्यजंसति
त्यजे दुस्त्यजंसति
dear Maitreya, to part one's wealth is very difficult. Would you kindly explain to me how such a son-in-law and father-in-law could quarrel so bitterly that the great goddess Sati could give up her life?
So, ye jamat aur swasurat, in dono ke beech mein vair kaise ho gaya? How did any enmity come between them? That so much so that not a normal enmity, you know, wo to har family mein hota hai, jamat and sasur, you know, but all this saas and bahu, these things are there. But then so much so that she ended up committing suicide. This is very serious, grievous thing. So then he starts explaining the whole Dakshi Yagya episode. मैत्रे उवाच
मैत्रे उवाच
पुरा विश्वसृजां सत्रे
पुरा विश्वसृजां सत्रे
समेता परमस्यः
समेता परमस्यः
तथामरगणा
सर्वे
दानुगामुनयो अज्ञयः
दानुगामुनयो अज्ञयः
in which all the great sages, philosophers, demigods and higher gods assembled with their followers.
So, thus began the history of the great sacrifice performed by the leaders of the universal creation. All Marichi, Daksha, Vashishta. So who all were there? Brahma and Shiva were also present along with all these other demigods there. Then, Tatra Pravishtam Rishayo
Tatra Pravishtam Rishayo
Rishtvarkam Iva Rochisha
Rishtvarkam Iva Rochisha
Brajamanam Vitimiram
Brajamanam Vitimiram
Kurvantam Tan Mahatsadaha
Kurvantam Tan Mahatsadaha.
Then Daksha, the leader of the Prajapati, entered that assembly.
That's when Daksha entered, right? So as soon as, so see, the, remember in all these stories, the villain is also a very exalted personality, right? So Daksha was not some lallu panju who just roaming around in Swargaloka. No, look at him. Tatra pravishta rishayo drishtva arkam iva. He was looking like the sun. And Rochisha, luster, and Brajamanam, he was shining like with effulgent luster, and free from darkness. So it is not that he was like in mode of ignorance or something like that. He had all the good qualities of a great exalted Mahapurusha, Daksha. And all these people don't get that role just like that. The designation also comes because they have been specially empowered by the Lord. But the point is, unless one's heart is completely filled with bhakti, this matsarya will not go so easily. That envy, no matter how advanced, even in, we can understand. Right now we may think, oh Prabhu, I have so many anarthas, I have this, I have that. But don't worry. Even heavenly planets also, all these big, big universal administrators also have these issues. And this is a story which is going to prove that. On one side we have a pure devotee like Lord Shiva. On the other side, we have a highly empowered personality like Lord Daksha. Right? He is Lord Daksha, he is Lord Shiva. So both are lords. But still among lords also, sometimes there are issues. So that is the nature of the material world. So then, all the assembled personalities became insignificant in the presence of Daksha. Then, Udatisthan Sat सदस्यास्ते
उदतिष्ठन् सदस्यास्ते
स्वधिष्णेभ्यः सहाज्ञः
स्वधिष्णेभ्यः सहाज्ञः
ऋते विरञ्चं सर्वं च
ऋते विरञ्चं सर्वच्च
तद्भास्काक्षित चेतसः
तद्भास्काक्षित
चेतसः influenced by his personal body all the fire gods and other participants in that great assembly with the exception of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, gave up their own sitting places and stood in respect for Daksha.
Sarasaspati bhir daksho
Sarasaspati bhir daksho
Bhagavan sadhu satkritah
Bhagavan sadhu satkritah
Ajam loka gurum natva
Ajam loka gurum natva
Vishesada tat agnaya
Vishesada tat agnaya.
Daksha was adequately welcomed by the president of the great assembly, Lord Brahma. after offering Lord Brahma respect, Daksha, by order of Brahma, properly took his seat.
Then, now the problem begins. Pranishannam ridam dishtva.
Pranishannam ridam dishtva.
Namrishattat anadritaha.
Namrishattat anadritaha.
Vachavamam chakshurbhyam.
Vachavamam chakshurbhyam.
Vivikshadahan iva.
Vivikshadahan.
Before taking his seat, however, Daksha was very much offended to see Lord Shiva sitting and not showing any respect. At that time, Daksha became greatly angry and his eyes glowing, he began to speak very strongly against Lord Shiva.
So what was Daksha's main issue? Prabhupada writes it in the purport that his concern was Lord Shiva, being the son-in-law of Daksha, was expected to show his father-in-law respect by standing with others. But the point is, Lord Shiva was, he is not in the same category like everybody else. Brahma, Shiva, they are all the principal demigods, as Prabhupada writes. So their position is actually higher than Daksha. But Daksha couldn't tolerate it. Right? Then secondly, another reason that he had issues with was, previously also he was not very much satisfied with Lord Shiva, for Shiva looked very poor and was niggardly in dress. So pehle jo uska issue tha Shiva ke saath. See, try to understand. The tipping point in the conflict is not the only reason for the conflict. There is always a history to every conflict. Every outburst has a history. Right? So here is Prabhupada giving us one hint that apparently Daksha didn't like the way Lord Shiva conducted himself. Right? Now everybody has their own idiosyncrasies. Idiosyncrasies means Hindi mein kya bolte usko? Like our, what's his name, that king's son
Patnaik.
Gopinath Patnaik episode mein, that Mahaprasad is the son, one of these sons, not the one who got Mahaprabhu's mercy, but some other son. He had kuch log ka aisa aadat rehta hai, kuch aise aise karte hain, just like they like to do some things. So this could be physical things or some could people mannerisms, yeah. So everybody has their own mannerisms, which you may find very unpalatable. Is a very polite word. We just can't stand it. Irritating, very annoying. You just can't. उसको सहन नहीं कर सकते आप देख के. So like that, you know. So Lord Shiva also had his dress appearance, right? The thing is, we'll continue and we'll come back to that point. Then text number 9.
On the request of Narasimha, Brahmaji married Sati.
On Brahmaji's request, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah, he's going to tell that reasons also. So now, Daksha, if you ever want to make an argument, you can learn some things from Daksha now. How to debate and basically how to build a case, how to polarize public opinion. You know, polarizing public opinion means by using your words, right? You'll be able to
gather public
opinion. So in the Vedic, did I talk about a triad anytime? The Vedic.
No.
So in the Vedic education, three things are taught first. Like math, science also baad mein aata tha. Nyaya, Vyakarana, and third was this, rhetoric. This is how to speak. I forgot a Sanskrit for that. Grammar, logic, and rhetoric. These are the three terms. So these three were first taught. And this system, even the Greeks also took it from us. And they continued. But unka udhari ruk gaya. After that, we teach other things also, like then math, science, and all these things come. But primarily, these three subjects were taught. And if you carefully see, these are the three things which you need in life. Why do you need grammar, first of all? To understand what is written first. The intricacies. Many times, like for example, when we are reading Prabhupada's books, we presume that what the English proverb is writing is same level as my English, and we interpret some things. So first of all, we should know what the language is. The language is taught first. After that, you know, like as they say, knowing English doesn't mean you know physics. Right? So then you should know how the information is being communicated, that is Nyaya. So logic gives you understanding of how to analyze, how to systematically break down, analyze things, and again synthesize the arguments, bring together multiple arguments. So that science is taught. Then last, and this is the most important thing, this is called rhetoric. Now the first two things somehow we pick up. The third part is called rhetoric, means how do you communicate. Sir, okay. Okay, rhetoric, the dictionary meaning is using language effectively to please or to persuade. A highly flown style, excessive use of verbal ornamentation. And other meaning is also loud and confused and empty talk. Now this is what politicians do. They are expert at this. Rhetoric. Persuasive speaking, even anything. If you want to make an argument, like if you want to make somebody look bad, you can present the argument in such a way that the entire public is now feeling like, "Arey." So the bechara, oh, he cannot speak much. He knows how to construct the points. He knows how to. He has some stuff with him, but he cannot present it properly. So then, what ends up happening? So the guy who doesn't have the rhetoric skills gets blamed. Like that. If you see, the reason why the democratic system, or rather the monarchical system, failed in the Western world was because of this. Logic, grammar, and rhetoric are secondary skills. Dharma should come before all of this. So in the Vedic culture, what was there was, the kings used to learn dharma, kings and administrators used to learn dharma first, like Chanakya, all these administrators, they used to learn dharma first, then they used to use all these skills in service of the dharma, in fulfillment of dharma, establishment of dharma. In the West, what happened, the Greek and Roman cultures, the whole concept of modern day politics, bureaucratics, that word comes from their culture. So you, just by using rhetoric skill, you could become a government administrator or a bureaucrat, and that is how you can control people. So if you are effective in speaking, you are chosen as the leader. So leader means one who has a rhetoric skills only. Aisa ho gaya. And today also, unfortunately, still it is like that. See, jo jiska vaak shakti hai, usko khada kar dete hain. Wo upar aage badhta rehta hai. But that vaakshakti should be guided through dharma properly. So Daksha is going to present this now, his all his rhetoric skills, his speaking skills. The first thing, what is this, how does he tactfully present it? So let's see his choice of words, analyze every word here.
Shruyatam brahmarshayo me,
Shruyatam brahmarshayo me,
Sahadeva sahajnana, Sahadeva sahajnaha,
Sahadeva sahajnaya.
O sadhunam bhuvato vrittam,
Sadhunam bhuvato vrittam,
Na jnanam na sammatsarat,
Na jnanam na.
All sages, Brahman and fire gods present, please hear with me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy.
So Shuvatam Brahma Rishaya, so all you rishis, you are so exalted. And Sahadevata, you are all Sahadevata, not Sahadevata means co-demigod. Mere saath wale, aap sab mere biradri wale hain. You are all of my class. Right? And Brahma Rishis are higher than me. And Saha Ajnaya, so they are also fire gods who are also seated here. We are all equal. So which means You all have the intelligence to understand what I am going to say now. You will agree with me now. See, this is called persuasive speaking. Yeah, by addressing them, without even communicating his point, right? This person, the people are hearing are open, jo bhi bol raha hai, sahi bol raha hai. Sahi bolne wala hai. So already convinced ho gaya aap log, idhar. Then, Bhruvatam, what am I going to speak? About sadhunam, about people who are gentle, nature of those who are gentle. So, you all are gentle, I am gentle, we are all together gentle. Now let us discuss how gentle people, how gentlemen speak, how gentlemen behave. Then, I am not speaking this out of agyanat or matsaryat. Please don't think I am speaking out of envy or ignorance. So somebody makes a statement like that, it means he is envious here. So the thing is, the man of gentle. So Daksha presents a very tactful way that he was going to speak about the manners of gentle person, although naturally this might affect some unmannerly upstart and the assembly might be unhappy because they did not want even unmannerly persons to be offended. I know, you know, you all are so kind hearted, you don't want even, you know, even these rogues also to get affected. You don't like to see anybody as rogues, but what to do, there are some ungentle people here like that. So then he also saying, as far as envy is concerned, from the very beginning he was envious of Lord Shiva, therefore he could not distinguish his own envy. Although he spoke like a man in ignorance, he wanted to cover his statement by saying that he was not speaking out of impudence or envious reason. So this is the danger of envy. When envy covers us, everybody except you will see that you are envious. You know, it's like, you know, like, suppose, this is a little story. You know, my elder brother in my childhood in school, he used to like, when we were all in school, I was not like a very physical person. Sports kabhi khela nahi maine. So every day in the morning he used to go for like jogging and everything, he used to play badminton and he used to come back. And you know, it's such a heavy workout that as soon as he would come into the house, right, you know, his entire body would be stinking with all the perspiration and everything. So every day I used to complain that, you know, that's so stinking, go take bath fast. We were all school kids that time. So then the summer vacation, so one day he asked me also to come with him. I said no, but somehow he forced me and I also went with him. I also ran with him and somehow I also played with him and everything. He came back. And as he came back, I didn't know that, hey, yaar, today you are not stinking so badly. Then my mother came, said, you both, rascals, you both are stinking like anything, go take bath first. Ah, then I realized, you know, when you yourself are stinking, you cannot make out. Everybody else around you can make out. So envy is like that stench. Except you, everybody in the room will know, arey yaar, this fellow is, because our nostrils, you know, they get fatigued, it's called nasal fatigue. So what you have to do is take another smell, then again you come back if you want to take a particular kind of smell. Then right now there's some beautiful fragrance here, but then we lost track of it.
They do it for tasting.
Sorry?
They do it for tasting.
Yeah, they do it for tastemakers, do that. So that's how it is. So envy is like that. Everybody except you will know that. So here it is, Daksha is like that. So it is not that he was trying to pretend. That's the point I'm trying to convey here. Daksha was 100% convinced to the core of his heart that this Shiva is a rascal and I am right. He is wrong and I am right. It is not that he was using his political skills. Arey, ye sahi hai. Public ko bhi ye pasand hai. Lekin now, I also know that he is right, but somehow I have to polarize opinion in such a way that, you know, they don't see the good in him and only see bad in him. He was thoroughly convinced that this fellow is a rascal. Shiva is a rascal. I am convinced about it, I am going to convince. That is the power. It completely covers his ignorance. Envy completely covers him.
What is the reason of so much
opinion? Sorry?
What is the reason of so much opinion?
Coming soon. Next few verses. Text number 10. अयम तु लोकपालाना
अयम तु लोकपालाना
यशोग्नो निरपत्रपा
यशोग्नो निरपत्रपा
तद्भिर आचरितः पंथा
तद्भिर आचरितः पंथा
येन स्तब्धेन दूषितः
येन स्तब्धेन दूषितः
Shiva has spoiled the name and fame of the governors of the universe and has polluted the path of gentle manners because he is shamed.
So, whose name has he spoiled?
Governor.
Whom is he addressing? नो द गवर्नर. सो हमारे समाज का नाम कलंक कर दिया, विच मीन्स नॉट ओनली आर यू इंसल्टेड मी, ही इज इंसल्टेड एवरी वन ऑफ यू. सो ही इज नॉट जस्ट माई एनिमी, ही इज ऑल ऑफ यूर एनिमी ऑल्सो. सो दैट इज हाउ इफ यू पोलराइज द ऑडियंस यू गेट मोर स्टे. लाइक प्रभुपाद वन टाइम वन ऑफ द गर्ल्स हु जॉइन द टेम्पल, शी वॉज फ्रॉम टेक्सस. सो यू नो हाउ टेक्सस पीपल आर, दे आर लाइक पंजाबीज ऑफ अमेरिका, यू नो, लाइक very hatte katte, very rough and tough type people. So the father of that girl came to temple to like see, are meri beti kahan chale gayi. So he sat to the whole class and he was like, you know, upset, and he was waiting for a confrontation. Class khatam ho jaye to main jaake dekhta hu. And so Prabhupada was very expert in sensing people's mood. So that day it happened to be some festival, so a lot of Indians were also there in the audience. So as soon as this guy comes, he walks up straight to the ashram. They are like big people, you know, 6.5-7 feet tall Texas people, very rough speaking. And so he goes and starts, what is this thing? Why did you kidnap my daughter? What is all this Indian religion that you people are following here? So then Prabhupada saw that he is in a confrontational mood. And Prabhupada just made one statement loudly. So you don't like Indians? An entire hall was filled with Indians that day. And that guy realized, I'm trapped here. Right? Because all around he saw only Indians. So sab log ke thoda attention, you know, when two people are loudly speaking, suddenly attention jata hai. So sab log ready the aisa. That's not written, I'm just interpreting. But just seeing that, the father realized immediately that there were Indians all around, he cannot confront now. So thoda thanda ho gaya tha. Like that. So Prabhupada many times he would do that, you know, he would try to polarize the public's views, right? Like another time we were recently reading, right? That one Hindu professor comes, so then he comes about Hinduism, yeah. So immediately Prabhupada looked at Sarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj and says, so, because all the disciples were there, so he's trying to, instead of him saying, let the entire public say, then thoda, it will not look like a personal comment. This is a general public comment. Yeah? So what do you call a person who teaches without knowing? So a cheater, Prabhupada, cheater. Like that. So that whole episode, you know, so you see like that. That's all our techniques. So if somebody is confronting you in your preaching, try to take public sympathy. And usually with this dress we tend to get it easily also, you know. So you should just know the technique. It can work both ways. The dress can work both ways. Then because he is shameless, he does not know how to act like that. So, but then the different words that he uses. So, one of the beauties of Sanskrit language is there are no galis in Sanskrit. Every word has both sides. So, the word Yashagno means one who spoils name and fame. So, it can also be interpreted to mean that he was so famous that his fame killed all others' fame. Unka yash itna महान था कि बाकी सबको नाश कर दिया. देन निरपत्रपा मीन्स वन हु इज स्टंटेड. अनदर सेंस वन हु इट आल्सो मीन्स वन हु इज मेंटेनर ऑफ पीपल हु हैव नो शेल्टर. सो लॉर्ड शिवा इज नोन एज आशुतोष. ऑल दीज गोस्ट एंड हॉब गॉब्लिन्स हैव नो शेल्टर, टू हिम लॉर्ड शिवा प्रोवाइड शेल्टर. देन somebody may ask, Hari, if you know so many things about Lord Shiva and if he is such a big character, then why did you give your daughter in marriage to him? Right? Pehle itna dimag nahi tha kya? So somebody can blame him, but then he makes his argument. एषमे शिष्यतां प्राप्तो यन्मे दुहितुर अग्रहीत पाणिं विप्राग्नि मुखतः सावित्र्या इव साधुवत्.
He has already accepted himself as my subordinate by marrying my daughter in the presence of fire and brahma. He has married my daughter who is equal to Gayatri and has pretended to be just like an honest person.
So he cheated me. This marriage is not valid. That is the extent to which he is going. Can you imagine? In those days, breaking a marriage is considered like a very unheard of thing. And no father, like we saw in the previous chapter, right? how eager Manu was to get his daughter married off, and he was feeling so satisfied that he has performed his Pitru Dharma and everything, so on. In such a cultural scenario, Daksha was saying that my daughter's marriage is invalid. So it is as good as saying that, you know, it's like my daughter is not in a proper relationship. It's like you're insulting the whole sanctity of marriage, you're insulting your own daughter by saying that. So that is the extent to which you were saying. And why? This fellow cheated. Actually, this case is Sati wanted to marry Rakshiva. And Brahmaji also facilitated that. So he is saying that no, this fellow cheated. He cheated my innocent little daughter. My daughter, nothing wrong with her. She is as pure as Gayatri. You know, everybody feels my children better. Okay, so na Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Okay, they wanted one planet. Yeah, come on. So their mother was saying like that. Just for that, you have to go and kill them, is it? तो बच्चे खेलते खेलते थोड़ा एक भूमंडल को थोड़ा गिरा दिया, खेलते खेलते गिर जाता है, कभी घंटी गिरा देते हैं, कभी ये गिराते हैं, वो थोड़ा प्लैनेट को गिरा दिया, तो उसके लिए बड़ी बात क्या है, राइट? सो मदर इज ऑलवेज अफेक्शनेट, शी इज ऑल सो लाइक दैट, सो पेरेंट्स आर ऑलवेज अफेक्शनेट अबाउट देयर चिल्ड्रन. सो ही सेड नो, माई डॉटर शी इज एज प्योर एज गायत्री, गायत्री देवी इज यू नो द प्योरेस्ट ऑफ प्योर. एंड बट देन दिस फेलो प्रिटेंडेड टू बी लाइक एन ऑनेस्ट पर्सन. And he cheated my daughter. Then? Agree? Huh? Who is Gayatri? So Gayatri is the Gayatri mantra that we chant. So she is the... She is actually transcendence... The Devi of transcendence personified. She is actually beyond Mukti also. She is considered very, very exalted among all the energies of Krishna. One of the many good energies. And then he goes on to insult Lord Shiva also. Now he is committing serious Vaishnava Aparadha here. Grihitva mrita savaksha,
Grihitva mrita savaksha,
Panim markata lochanaha,
Panim markata lochanaha.
What is it?
Markata.
Okay. I thought you were feeling so bad. I cannot call names to Lord Shiva. I will not recite this line of Bhagavatam. So suddenly pura silent ho gaya hai na. Ye kya ho raha hai? Then. Huh? नहीं रुको रुको अभी श्लोक खत्म नहीं हुआ. प्रत्युत्थान अभिवाधारे
प्रत्युत्थान अभिवाधारे
वाचाप्यर्थ नोचितम
वाचाप्यर्थ नोचितम.
पढ़ो ही बोलो बस, भगवान का नाम मत लेना. ही बोलो बस.
ही हैज आईज लाइक अ मंकी येट ही हैज मैरिड माय डॉटर. Whose eyes are just like those of a dear cow. Nevertheless, he did not stand up to receive me, nor did he think it fit to welcome me with sweet words.
So, Mriga, Aksha, and Markata Lochana. Again, comparison. My daughter. So, why is my daughter's eyes like those, like that of a deer? But she is coming from me, she is my offspring. Right? Whereas this fellow, he is Markata Lochana. He is like, eyes are like that of a monkey. So, because he had this envious attitude, because he was not recognizing this marriage, because of that whatever hatred that he had towards Shiva, that started brewing slowly, 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 slowly in his heart. So that is the reason for his great envy. Against his desire, that whole marriage was a challenge to Daksha's personal desire. So when your personal desire gets challenged by someone, that person, though maybe the instrument of whatever, of your disappointment, becomes an immediate cause for your disappointment. And that brews envy in the heart. That's the first seed of envy comes. Right? You know, like Gaurangpa was explaining one time that some devotee had to be disciplined or something in the Brahmachari ashram. So the management told Gaurangpa to go and inform that person that, hey, you know, you are expelled or something like that. So Gaurangpa just casually went and told, and so it turned out that person, he thought you are responsible. So for like many years after that, he always saw Prabhuji as, you know, the person who took the decision or whatever. Though he knows that it's all clear that he was just communicating, you know. So you should never be upset with the postman who brought you the wrong news. So that is the point. So he, but he here is Daksha thinking that because of Shiva marrying my daughter, the whole plan went against my will, so therefore I hate him. And that slowly started brewing into envy. Then
the first time was married.
Mm-hmm.
How did she got married without his?
So Brahmaji instructed him to do that. Brahmaji gave this, that please give your daughter in marriage to Lord Shiva. Then he had to oblige because he is his father, but we will see in the future verses what he refers to him as.
Luptakriyaya asuchaye
manine bhinnastetave anichan api adam balam
shudrayevo satim giram.
I had no desire to give my daughter to this person who has broken all rules of civility. Because of not observing the required rules and regulations, he is impure. But I was obliged to hand over my daughter to him. Just that, when teaching the materials of the Vedas,
a Shudra is forbidden to take lessons from the Vedas because a Shudra, due to his unclean habits, is not worthy to hear such instructions. This restriction, unlike one who has acquired a Brahminical qualification, one should not read the Vedas. It's like a restriction of a law student should not enter a law college unless he has been graduated from all lower grades. So it is not like, again, Prabhupada would repeatedly emphasize, it's not a kind of a social restriction or injustice that is happening here. But it's just like you can't enter into medical school without finishing your plus two or whatever according to with due marks like that. So according to the estimation of Daksha, Shiva was unclean in habit and was not worthy to have hand of his daughter Sati, who was so enlightened, beautiful and chaste. The word used in the connection is Vinnas Setave. Like he has broken all the regulations of good behavior. So then, now this is the verse. Pretaveshu Bhoreshu
He lives in filthy places like crematoriums, and his companions are the ghosts and demons. Naked like a madman, sometimes laughing and sometimes crying, he smears crematorium ashes all over his body. He does not bathe regularly, and he ornaments his body with a garland of skulls and bones. Therefore, only in name he is Shiva, or auspicious. Actually, the most mad and inauspicious creature. Thus, he is very dear to crazy beings in the gross mode of ignorance, and he is their leader.
So, that is his main concern. That, so, why is Shiva like this?
Compassionate.
So, that is his preaching grace.
Bridge preaching.
Yeah, literally.
He has to connect with
these people in Tamogun. So, he has to attract them. He has to be in that role. So, like that. So, Lord Shiva appears to be like that, but in name, Shiva is actually fitting for very kind people who are in darkness or mode of ignorance. It's unclean drunkards who do not regularly bathe. Like that. So, even to such people also, Lord Shiva can give them spiritual consciousness. Can you imagine how difficult that preaching is? Right? So, therefore Lord Shiva is called as all auspicious. By his association, even such fallen souls can be elevated. Sometimes it is seen that great personalities meet with fallen souls not for any personal interest but for benefit of these souls. Like that. So, Lord Vishnu takes charge of advanced Krishna conscious Vaishnavas. Brahma takes charge of people who are very much attached to material activities, but Shiva is so kind that he takes charge of people who are in gross ignorance, like that. So they have distributed the zones like that, the universe. Shiva takes all the ignorant, fallen people, and Brahmaji takes the materially aspiring people, and Lord Vishnu takes care of the pious people, like that. Then,
Tasma unmada nathaya nashta shauchaya durude datta patamaya sadvi chodite parameshtina.
On the request of Lord Brahma, I handed over my chain daughter to him, although his demand of all kindness and his heart is filled with gratitude.
So what is, on whose request did he give it over?
Brahma.
So what is Brahmaji referred to as in this verse?
Parameshti
means? So there is a little hint of sarcasm here. Right? Wo bada preacher baitha hai, usse bola isliye kiya maine. You know? He is not referring to him as his father. He is not even referring to him as his guru. Brahma is guru of Daksha also. Right? So Prabhupada highlights that in the verse.
Brahma
is father of Shiva, Rugu, and Daksha. Yeah. So, he refers to Brahma as Parameshti, the supreme teacher in the universe. Because of his temperament of gross anger, he was not even prepared to accept Brahma as his father. Because technically, being a father, he has more right on Sati than Daksha also. That's how the Vedic culture was. If grandfather ne kuch bola hai to karna hi padega. Grandfather's decision is highest. More than with respect to the, you know, young children. So he even accused, in other words, he even accused Brahma of being less intelligent because he had advised Daksha to hand over his beautiful daughter to such a nasty fellow. In anger one forgets everything, and thus Daksha in anger not only accused the great Lord Shiva but also criticized his own father Lord Brahma. For his not very astute advice that Daksha hand over his daughter to Shiva. So he ended up committing guru aparad here. So that is what anger can do. Completely blinds you that you end up committing offense to your own spiritual master. So then, after this, he continues. Maitrivacha
Virindhevam
sa girisham
apratipam avasthitam
dakshothapi upasprishya
krutashaptum
prachakrame.
The sage Maitreya
continues. Thus, Daksha, seeing Lord Shiva sitting as if against him, washed his and mouth and curse him in the following words.
So here is the whole situation. What is Lord Shiva doing? Sitting. That's it. All of this, the fact that, what is brewing in Daksha's mind? This fellow, he knows that I don't like him. Just to insult me even more, he didn't get up. So this whole story is being made in his own mind, but actually neither Shiva was envious, nor Brahmaji felt anything there, nor Sati felt anything bad about, you know, getting married in the whole in this against his father's wish or whatever. Everybody was happy. It is just the mind which is creating this whole story here. Right? So that is what is, these are the mind games which can overwhelm a person sometimes. So everything was so clear. Lord Shiva didn't even have a thing of, and even the public which was there, it is not that they were all the things, dekho dekho iska son-in-law khaya nahi ho raha, you know, all the history kya hai. It's not that they were all the gossiping. It is as if nothing happened, but just in the corner of his eye, he just happened to notice that Shiva didn't get up. He was just close, he was just doing, he was spaced out, whatever. Right? And so he just felt like, when you see a person who is envious, with whom, against whom you have some issues, whatever they do, you see like, अरे ये मुझे ही taunt मारने के लिए कर रहा है, you know, that is how the mind tricks a person. So then, अयम तु देव यजना
अयम तु देव यजना
इंद्रोपेन्द्राद्रिभिभवा सहभागं न लभताम
सहभागं न लभताम
देवे देव गणाधमः
देवै देव गणाधमः
Demigods are eligible to share in the oblation of sacrifice. But Lord Shiva, who is the lowest of all the demigods, should not have a share.
So this is where Daksha's consciousness is publicly revealed. You know, there is a saying in English. It is better not to open your mouth and let others think that you are a fool than to open your mouth and clear all doubts.
It is better to not open your mouth.
It is better not to open your mouth and let others think that you are a fool than to open your mouth and clear all doubts. Can you hear?
Clear others' doubt, huh? That I am full.
So even in the audience, you know, you're discussing something, you know, like in a board meeting ho raha hai, aapko bhi bulaya meeting mein. सब लोग बैठे हैं लेकिन आपको समझ में नहीं आया, चुपचाप बैठे हो. तो टू थिंग्स कैन हैपन, यू नो, सोच बाकी लोग सोच रहे थे आइदर दिस फेलो डजंट नो एनीथिंग और इतना सोच रहा है कुछ तो है, राइट, टू एम्बिग्यूटी रहता है, आइदर उल्लू है या कुछ तो ज्ञानी है, कुछ तो थिंकर है, सोच रहा है. सो देन यू स्पीक समथिंग रियली स्टूपिड. अच्छा ये एक घंटे पहले वो पॉइंट बोलते क्या था वो, राइट, देन कमिंग आउट वाई. सो वॉट डज ही वैल्यू इन लाइफ दैट इज ब्रॉट आउट सो क्लियरली इन दिस वर्स. सो वी विल नॉट गिव हिम ऑब्लिगेशंस ऑन द फायर एज इफ लॉर्ड शिवा वॉन्ट्स इट, राइट. Who is the lowest of all demigods, he should not get a share of this yajna that we are doing. Right? So Lord Shiva is already auspicious. He has, by his presence you are making the yajna auspicious. Instead, he is saying, you know, like what that Mahaprabhu's pastime, which is the Brahmana cursing him that may he never enjoy any material opulence. You know, as if for Mahaprabhu that is a benediction. But the Brahmana thought that it is a curse. Like that. So Prabhupada writes that. So this is like an indirect blessing that he got. Lord Shiva was saved from the calamity before that. Sri Krishna just have comments in this connection that Shiva was saved from the calamity of taking part with other demigods who are all materialistic. Can you imagine? Right? Like you go to a feast where all kinds of abominable things are cooked, and then people, the owner is upset with you, the host, main host is upset with you, and he says, today you will not get chicken masala. I will not allow you to serve chicken masala for you today. So it is like that. So Shiva is happy that, okay, I don't have to partake of all this materialistic action happening here. Like that. So this curse of Daksha was indirectly a blessing for Shiva, would not have to eat or sit with other demigods who are too materialistic. So like how Gaur Kishore's mom is, he used to sit in Latin and he used to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada writes about that. He didn't want them to come and, you know, unnecessarily bother him with, people would come and ask, like Babaji Maharaj, right? Babaji means Ashirwad Babaji. So then he didn't want that kind of audience. Then, text 19. निषिध्यमानस सदस्य मुखे
निषिध्यमानस सदस्य मुखे
दक्षो गिरित्राय विसृज्य शापम
दक्षो गिरित्राय विसृज्य शापम
तस्माद् विनिक्रम्य विवृद्ध मन्यो
तस्माद् विनिक्रम्य विवृद्ध मन्यो
जगाम कौरव्य निजम् निकेतनम्
जगाम कौरव्य निजम् निकेतनम्.
Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, in spite of the request of all the members of the sacrificial assembly, Daksha in great anger cursed Lord Shiva and left the assembly and went back to his home."
So Nishidya, being requested not to Nishidya, blocked it. He Sadasya Mukhya, by the leader of the whole sacrifice, Daksha, Giritraya is Lord Shiva. Why is Giritraya? Anybody knows? Kailash mein baithte hai na. Visridya shapam. So because of that, image. So what did Lord Shiva didn't even protest. He didn't even try to defend himself. In fact, the most amazing thing, you know, last year when we were reading, this discussion came up. Lord Shiva, after this whole episode, never even told a second person why he did not get up. क्या वो झपकी ले रहे थे, सो रहे थे, क्या कुछ मोबाइल में कुछ अलग MP3 सुन रहे थे, क्या कर रहे थे? Nothing. Only when his wife questions him, unable to like tolerate her insult, or just to like convince his wife that hey, my advice is right, don't go there today, it will be not good for you. Just to convince his wife and to teach his wife, that time he reveals, you know, actually what happened, you know, that day, I was meditating on Lord Vishnu. So he didn't even tell anybody. Entire world was talking about this. It became a sensation of the higher planets. Today, Lord Shiva was thrown out of Daksha Yagya because he was spaced out. That was the news which was going around. But Lord Shiva didn't bother to. That is Atmaram. Not concerned about public opinion. Just continue your bhajan, continue your duties, continue your responsibilities, continue your seva. I am not worried what public is labeling me as. Only later in the next chapter you will see that when there is a heated discussion that goes on, even the first part also he doesn't say that. And finally after seeing that, array, now I have to tell her what exactly happened that day. So then he says, you know, actually people like me, exalted devotees like me, we are always Vasudeva Parayan. We are always absorbed in thoughts about the Lord. The whole purpose of getting up is, why do people get up? What is the whole concept of worship or dandavat or pranam? What is it? It is acknowledging the effulgence of Paramatma, the potency of Paramatma, the vibhutis of Paramatma being manifested by that person. That is the whole point. And by me sitting there and meditating on my Lord Sankarshan, who is Paramatma also, expansion. So I'm directly worshipping Paramatma. Why should I indirectly get up and worship through Daksha? So I have the purpose, in fact more than anybody else, the real purpose of that standing up was being fulfilled by Lord Shiva only. So Lord Shiva gives his justification only at that moment, that too to only his wife, not to the rest of the world also. That is how exalted Lord Shiva was. Absolutely detached from this concept of name, fame or public opinion. Like that. So then he left. So then Prabhupada writes that how anger is so detrimental that even a great personality like Daksha, out of anger, left the arena where Brahma was presiding. And all the sages and pious and saintly persons assembled. So you can imagine, like, your own guru is sitting there in the hall, you are for a program, right? But because of your petty difference, you just got up, left the association of the spiritual master and left. Right? That is the extent to which anger can cover one. All of them requested him not to leave. Don't leave. It's inauspicious for, you know, in the middle of a yajna to leave like that. But no, infuriated, he left thinking that the auspicious place was not fit for him. Puffed up by his exalted position, he thought that no one was greater than he in argument. It appeared that all the members of the assembly, including Lord Brahma, requested him not to be angry and leave their company. But in spite of all their requests, he left. That is a cruel effect of anger. Therefore, Bhagavata says, three things to avoid. What are the three gateways to hell?
Lust and anger.
Lust and anger. So like that. So the very name Daksha suggests that he was expert in all material activities, but still because of his aversion towards such a saintly person as Shiva, he was attacked by these three enemies. Therefore Lord Chaitanya advised not to be very careful and not to offend Vaishnavas. So this is an important point here. So like how we were discussing earlier, that it all begins with a small seed. Somewhere, sometime, maybe that fellow on a festival day didn't give you gulab jamun extra. To his best friend he gave one extra gulab jamun, but to you he didn't give gulab jamun. So us din se, and while when you asked also, he looked at you like this. And that seed enters your heart. And then every day after that, it keeps building and building. So whatever is happening, right, you start seeing that, oh, this fellow hates me, that is why he is always angry with me like this. You know? And you go and complain to your counselor also, Prabhuji, I am facing discrimination here. You know, this particular devotee is like this, he always has issues with me. Jabhi kuch bolta hu, he always says against that. It could be like a, it would have been a common discussion somewhere where he just expressing his views, completely forgot about the whole gulab jamun. He didn't even notice about that gulab jamun incident. But in your mind everything is brewing. So this leads, builds up gradually to enemy. The point is, negativity is like positivities also. They start building, or they are like little seeds. They sprout, they grow. We also had very positive experiences, and we nourish, we cherish those positive experiences, and if you nourish those experiences, they grow up to become very your shelter in Krishna consciousness. Right? That one little, that one special moment that you had in the dham, that one special day when you had that special darshan, when you could actually really see Krishna standing there, not just the Krishna. No different from his deity. Okay, what is that? Oh, my mobile. I don't know. Yeah, like that. So then, so like how we cherish those positive moments, likewise negative moments also, they build up. That is why envy is so dangerous. So the question that comes about is, but Prabhu, practically speaking, in a area where there are limitations of resources, right? We have to sometimes outdo others in our performance. So envy is there, but what about competitive attitude? That also looks like envy externally, right? Is it fine to have? As well as competition, do we compete at all in devotional service?
Yes.
Yes? Yes? Why do we compete? Sorry? Okay, what is in healthy competition?
Perform better so that others are inspired to perform much better.
Okay.
Not leading, but inspiring others.
We are doing our best.
How is that competition then? Competition means thoda mukka mukka thoda hona chahiye na?
We are doing our best.
Huh.
And also wish that everyone else better than
me. There is no more competition then. That is being servant of the servant. You are bringing a very high advanced Vaishnava philosophy. Na dhanam na janam. Tina dabhi suni chena. You are bringing that platform in our competition. Sorry?
Competition is for the pleasure of the Lord.
Okay.
So basically,
not with respect to Lord. We are not competing with the Lord. I am talking about devotees.
Yeah. So
competing with the Lord is ruled out. But what about each other?
Two groups of devotees are competing.
Say individually, two groups, whatever. Huh?
Yeah, two groups are competing for the pleasure of God.
Huh? Okay. That is fine?
Yeah, that's okay. So probably the whole competition, the other team also gets more inspired to serve the Lord better.
Hmm.
It's to show that we are doing better, to encourage them. That's the more competition.
So you want to encourage other person to do better? what if I don't, I want to genuinely beat that other group in my service. I genuinely want to distribute more books than that temple. Target is very clear. I want to be better than them.
If it is out of enviousness,
so this desire is not a problem. As long as you are feeling, you are appreciating them also.
I have no appreciation for them.
Then
I don't want to see their face.
So then we have to work upon it.
I don't want to go on their territory. I don't want to go to their zone or their temple also.
Yeah, that can be seen in the past tense Vacharya also. Even our
Raghunandan Goswami,
he was very upset with the leaf. Buttermilk was brought.
So Prabhupada never discouraged that kind of competition. Prabhupada writes in one letter, personal misunderstanding exists even in higher levels. There is competition of loving Krishna even in the party of Srimati Radharani. It is a kind of a rasa to compete in loving affection centered around Krishna. So Chandravali's group, Radharani's group,
completely,
totally poles apart. So they don't get along with each other. Even amongst our God brothers, we have misunderstanding. But none of us is astray from the service of Krishna. That is important point. This is from a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote. This is not from the Prabhupada. My Guru Maharaj ordered us to execute his mission combinedly. In Krishna consciousness, there is variety, but there is no discord. Differences, fights. We may fight with one another on the point of serving, but that is not discord. In the service of Krishna, there may sometimes be transcendental competition, but there cannot be any disruption of service. That is the point. I mean, like you are saying, today we should feed sweet rice to Krishna. Hey, no, today we should feed parathas to Krishna. And both the parties are like competing. But in the process, finally Krishna is standing, Hari yaar, usko khilao yaar. Right? So that should not happen. So the service of the Lord should not get disrupted. That's the point. So that is the whole spirit of Sankirtan. So what disrupts the spirit of Sankirtan is envy. So it is competition and envy. Like that. So what envy does is it breaks the Sangha apart. It takes one individual away from the Sangha. Like that. So the whole, like how other day Maharaj is explaining in his offering, it's all about unity in diversity. So Sankirtan is all about finding congruence and divergence. Right? So many tangents are there. In fact, another letter dated February 4th, 1972, some devotee wrote to Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, there is so much of impersonalism in our movement. You know, nobody is agreeing on things. Jokes of impersonal ho gaye. Wo ladai jhagda kar rahe hain. There is conflict and competition happening. This is all impersonalism, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is heavy against impersonalism, no? He was using his rhetoric skills to polarize Prabhupada's views. But then Prabhupada writes, it is not so much that because there may be some faults in our God brothers and God sisters, or because there may be some mismanagement or lack of cooperation, that is due to being impersonalist. No. It is the nature of the living condition to always have some fault. Even in spiritual world, there is always some fault and envy. Are there faults in spiritual world?
Like?
So one day, Krishna was going to milk the cows into the cow barn. So as he was taking the bucket and he was going inside, my story is by, not my story, it is by, it's only Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj. So as he was taking that bucket and was going, Radharani and the gopis were just walking back from wherever they were going. So Krishna and Radharani exchanged glances, and their glances were fixed on each other. And Krishna entered into the cow barn, still looking at Radharani only, and he was walking. Radharani was walking away, both were still glancing at each other. Krishna goes, sits down and starts milking. And all of a sudden the gopis start laughing. Then Krishna, you know, he just comes to some external consciousness and he says, "Arey, he's trying to milk a bull." So then Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj says, "Kaise Bhagwan hai? Gaya aur bhel ke bich mein farak nahi pata hai kya? Hamare Bhagwan ko." Right? So this is a kind of a fault. Sometimes the gopis, they dress, they put the upper cloth lower, lower cloth upper. These are, as you said, transcendental faults. So point is, there is envy in the spiritual world, but there is no malice. Like some of you pointed, we don't want to pull another person down. That feeling is not there. So there is definitely envy and competition, but for the seva of Krishna. So what is the symptom of purified envy? This is from a lecture of Visvanatha Nirmala Swami Maharaj. That it is always to increase Krishna's service without ever any malice. In contrast, when we are envious in the material world, we want to put others down. Like, you know, in the olden days, the Christmas marathon, tire puncture kar do, shoes ka lace bandho, ya shoes koi gayab kar do. So thandi mein nahi ja sakte bahar. So that is bad. We want to either do better than others or achieve something better than them. And that way we do it by diminishing what they are doing. Like that. So what is the best way to dotel envy? Appreciation. You have to understand it is covered appreciation. Like that. So malice means one cannot tolerate others' glorification and you want to diminish everybody else's service. Like that. Maharaj very funnily he writes, what does this envious attitude mean? We think that my service is most important. And because my service is most important, everybody should simply assist me in my service and then everybody will be situated nicely. Does it sound familiar? Aham sarvasya pravo, matya sarvam pravaste, iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava svanta. Like that. So such a person who is rightly situated, who knows that my service is important. Such envy thinking that I am the source of all service to Krishna, everything is emanating from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my service and worship me with all my heart. That is envy. So you have to be careful of this Vaishnava mentality. Vaishnava means how I can increase service to Krishna. Okay. Elsewhere Prabhupada writes. So this is again, actually this is a very nice beautiful lecture which Maharaj gave in Radha Desh 4 years back. So Prabhupada is saying here that actually utopians are impersonal. See that letter that devotee writes, you know, we want spiritual world is like utopia, everything is nice. Utopia is? What is utopia?
Everything is perfect.
Yeah,
it will happen.
Correct. So, it's a book called Utopia. One Western author wrote that book. Forgot his name now. So he imagines a perfect society, perfect human society. So that word Utopia comes from that. So, Thomas More. Okay, great. There you go.
That is like the originator of the word?
Yeah, he coined that word. How many was it? 1516. Like that. Which country was he? Anything written?
Utopia.
Yeah, but the author is from?
Greece.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Yeah. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, 1516. Like that. So he says, but actually utopians are impersonal because they think utopia means that there are no faults. Prabhupada is explaining that everywhere in creation you are going to find some fault, even in the spiritual world. So utopians think that there should be no fault. Like that. So the Vaishnava is called Adosha Darshi. Like that. So the point is, this again back to another Prabhupada letter. So we shall not expect that anywhere there is any utopia. That is impersonalism. People should not expect that even in the Krishna conscious society there will be utopia. Don't expect utopia even in Krishna conscious society. Because devotees are persons, there will always be some lacking. There will always be some lacking. But, there will always be some lacking. But the difference is that this is an important point after this.
What difference?
But the difference is that they are lacking because they have given up everything to serve Krishna, money, job, reputation, wealth, big education, everything. Their lackings have become transcendental because despite everything that they may do, their topmost intention is to serve Krishna. So these lackings in the society have to be seen in the background of the foreground of the intention. Against the foreground of the intentions. Like that. So, one who is engaged in devotional service, despite the most abominable action, is to be considered saintly because he is rightly situated. Like that. Then one may ask, Hare Prabhuji, ye sab lecture mein sunne ke liye achha hai. Pankaj Prabhu is thinking like now, like this. Ye sab lecture ke liye sunne ke liye achha hai. Kal mujhe preaching center chalana hai. Right? If I don't see faults in others, if I don't chastise them, how will they work? Correct? That's what you're thinking, right? Come on, don't lie. I can read your eyes. Did I tell you I can read brains? I never told you? Usually anybody like 1 meter distance I can do that.
Why not?
Careful. So in reply to that, Prabhupada wrote another famous letter. This is a famous Karnadar Prabhu's letter. Many management reports you will see this letter. Very inspiring, one of my favorite points of Sri Prabhupada. What is Vaishnava management? We have to see the spark, the potential for devotional service in every living being. Everyone has it. If they don't display that potential, then as Vaishnavas, as preachers of Krishna consciousness, we should be compassionate upon them and be thinking that if they are not displaying their potential for devotional service, maybe it is because some Vaishnava hasn't been merciful to them and hasn't touched their heart. Sorry, this is not a letter yet, this is still Maharaj's lecture, but it's a very wonderful point. When you see somebody as an uninspired fellow in Krishna consciousness, right, you should feel compassion. Arey yaar, he never got taste of some powerful Vaishnava who inspired me like that. He never got an opportunity to see some powerful Vaishnava. Instead of looking at their faults and looking at their material disqualifications, we should see their spiritual qualification. Vishnujan Swami gave the example of a person who comes to a temple and has a desire to sweep the floor. All the rest of his life may be totally abominable, but he has some desire, he wants to do something for Krishna. Like that. ये पूरा ट्रांसक्रिप्शन लटवर्स में है पढ़ लो मैं बहुत 4 साल पहले इट्स कॉल्ड वैष्णव कंपैशन आई थिंक दैट इज द नेम ऑफ लेक्चर वेरी ब्यूटीफुल लेक्चर सो लाइक दैट सो अनदर टाइम यू नो हाउ इष्ट गोष्ठी स्टार्टेड इन इस्कॉन तो ये मेरे लिए क्या सो व्हेन When Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was the temple president of Kolkata, I think. Mayapur, Kolkata, because he was handling that. So, he made somebody else, he was not temple president, he was the GVC of that area. And temple president was another devotee. I forgot his name, he's like a very heavy, he was a former, what is it, bikers gang that they have in America? Yeah, but that biker gang, you understand, right? So, wo udhar ka banda tha, wo devotee ban gaya. Very heavy guy and very tough guy. So, he was... Not gypsy. So, he was like very strict TP there, temple commander there. So, the devotees under them were like really suffering. All the brahmacharis, the temple residents had a tough time dealing with this guy. And he was like supported by Kamakrishna Maharaj. He said, Prabhupada, the discipline, so you start to enforce discipline. So when Prabhupada visited the temple, all the devotees went and complained to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada so Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj, kya ho raha hai that? Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada, actually whatever is happening here is happening by your divine grace's will. So Prabhupada immediately replied. So, is the divine grace's will to trouble all the devotees? Then immediately Tamal Krishna Maharaj answered, you should follow the instruction. The spirit of the instruction, not just the letter of the instruction. The whole purpose of the discipline Prabhupada was enforcing was so that devotees be happy and inspired in Krishna consciousness. Because discipline also inspires people, right? But the point is, if that same discipline is making people uninspired in Krishna consciousness, right, and completely, then you have to come up with an alternative strategy. You cannot just follow it strictly. Aisa bola hai, aisa hi karna hai. right? So patient, what is it? Operation successful, patient dead. Aisa ho jayega. That is the point. So then, this is a proper letter which I was talking about. So the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright. When? So long as the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, they are rising before 4 every morning attending Mangalarti. Our leaders must be very careful. This is the most important of the important points. Our leaders must be most careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous and voluntary. That is the point. They should always try to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge for the devotees so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management. To draw out spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. What does management mean? The art of drawing spontaneous loving service, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. When we are so, but where are there so many expert managers? This is Prabhupada's letter dated 22nd December 1972. Like that. So that is the whole point. So,
What is the individual, spontaneous and voluntary?
Yes. What is individual? Yes, what is individual?
Individual, it is for unique to that person. That kind of.
So everybody will say मुझे मेरा unique factor ये है कल से मुझे ये करना है इसे प्रभुपाद बोली और ये letter भी लेके जाके दिखाएंगे आप सेवा इंचार्ज को आज से मुझे सिर्फ बैठ के उधर harmonium बजाना है that is my individual way of bringing out my spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna.
Yeah, sure, you can do it.
हाँ
no problem but you can do all this also. What is
yes.
The date?
Surely you can. Wonderful. December 22nd, 1972.
How is it?
Then spontaneous. Then voluntary. So the point is that is how inspiration works.
You cannot generalize.
No, not that. Not generalization also. The point is finally you have to make people love Krishna and from their side, service should not be enforced on people. People should be inspired to serve. Not work should happen not by force but by bringing out their desire to work. And automatically ideas will come that how I can best serve. So the requirement right now is we have to, this year Janmashtami, we have to bring Narendra Modi to our temple. Big task. Now when you are inspired and then automatically your individual ideas will come up. Oh, I know this uncle of mine, some 3 years back he was in Gujarat and he told me that he met Modi that time. When he was a CM and he said he was like had good relations with him. What if maybe, so Paramatma will give you that individual ideas. So the point is when you take ownership of Krishna, that is, you know, that how Prabhuji was explained today's Bhagavatam class also, that at a basic level thinking that Krishna, I am yours. But even more advanced than that is thinking
you are mine.
One second, just we'll make a quick phone call. Sure, you can pause this recording.
Desire is opposed, sir. Desire is not allowed to be fulfilled.
Yes, so, yes, basically, envy is the most deep-rooted, like the original sin, as they say, right? So that is envy. So, when any pure relationship is contaminated with envy, that is how the distortion comes up. Like previous girls, I think you were discussing, you know, how all the five pure relationships, if you add envy into it, you get the other five anarthas.
No, that you told we'll discuss at some other time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Then just tell it now.
Yeah.
So what are the five pure relationships? So if you mix, in a pure relationship of love, if you mix envy, you get lust.
Uh-huh. Like that five rasas?
Five rasas, if you just mix envy into it. So envy is like the root cause of, in Vatsalya, which is all about selflessness. Just have to, you know, a mother's or father's parent, especially mother, she serves the child without any selfish motives. But if once the enviousness comes in, then what happens into that kind of relationship? It becomes that expectations come, greed comes in out of the relationship. Vatsalya plus envy
equal
to greed. Equation number 2. Love plus envy equal to lust. Equation number 1. Then, now tell me. Sakya plus envy equals. So it's like Bojo. It has. You are ready to. There's no Hari Bol, Kogandavar. Right? In a friendly relationship, kuch bhi chal sakta, you know. This is a thing that you can experience, because first two are little beyond us, you know. Wo hum relate nahi kar paate. But you can see that when you have good relationship with devotees, na, even sometimes some so-called upanishe kuch bol diya, jo bhi hai, kar diya, you don't mind. Sakhya rasa mein wo sab, it's resolved. But once you start having differences with some other Vaishnava, with your own friends, all these years you are very close to them, and but once thoda differences aa gaya, then thoda bhi idhar relationship is something ulta ulta bol diya, immediately you become angry, you react. So you will see that practically also happening. Any of you ever fought with your good friends? So you will see that, because if you analyze, go all the way back, kuch to hai, something made you envious about that person. And that envy is now reflecting as a form of anger. So actually envy, na, envy ko pakadna bhi bahut mushkil hai. You can actually figure out that you are envy because by seeing the other five anarthas which are, one of the five anarthas which will manifest. Then servant.
Right.
Servant means is abhiman, which you are saying, na. Abhiman hota hai, but that abhiman ka reflection is this pride. I am now the boss. Not the master is not the boss. I am the boss. Right, and the neutrality, it changed to illusion, like that. So this is the root cause. Now don't ask me what is the praman for it. It's just a connection.
It's just a logical speculation.
But because we elsewhere, many times we read that envy is the root cause of our existence in the material world. Because we are envy towards Krishna, we are here. So I was just wondering how envy can be. Why is such a powerful thing? And it's difficult to detect envy also. Envy, like ego, is very, very, very subtle. You cannot exactly sense. Other five others are like little gross. Pakad sakte. But envy ko heart mein, because you cannot, it's like you cannot be only envious and not angry at other person. You cannot be only envious and not proud. You cannot be only envious and not lusty. Aisa nahi hota hai. If your envy means, other things will automatically follow. Pure envy without other five others does not exist. In fact, envy in the heart manifests externally, mentally, physically, emotionally on with these five others. So that is how the mind works. So we have to be very careful with this. Your question was, how does this envy come in the first place, right? Something like that?
Not fulfilling.
But once desire is opposed, like Daksha did not want, she wanted to get married with her.
Right.
But it happened. So Maya wanted to find out the root of envy so that I can work upon it.
Like that, exactly. So his ego got hurt. And that led to that envious nature. Why he is getting something which, some more attention maybe. Why Brahma is favoring him more, that he took a decision against my will. I wanted, your ideologies, ideological differences were there now between Brahmaji and Daksha. Felt he is not good. Brahmaji said he is good. So that conflict led to envy. So kahan se ye aa raha hai, you have to really go back in your own personal life and see what was that point in history. And उस समय वो पता भी नहीं चलता है. वो धीरे धीरे बढ़ के then it becomes like a big thing. That's what we have to be careful about. So now a whole series of curses and counter curses will begin. How Nandi is going to curse, seeing that his master has been insulted. Vigyana shapam girishaunu gagner.
Vigyana shapam girishaunu gagner.
Nandishwaro roshakashaya dushitah.
Nandishwaro roshakashaya dushitah.
Dakshaya shapam visasarja darunam.
Dakshaya shapam visasarja darunam.
Ye chano ye chan vamodam tad avat.
For understanding that Lord Shiva had been cursed, Nandishwar, now the Lord Shiva's principal associate, became greatly angry. His eyes became red and he prepared to curse Daksha and all the Brahmanas present there who had tolerated Daksha's cursing Shiva in harsh words.
So there's a long standing distinction among some of the neophyte Vaishnavas and Shaivites. They were always at loggerheads.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So when Daksha cursed Lord Shiva in harsh words, some of the Brahmanas present there enjoyed it because some Brahmanas did not very much admire Shiva. So Brahmanas are usually like the followers of Vishnu. Because Yajna Purusha is Vishnu, so they are more inclined towards Vishnu. Like that. So, because this is due to their ignorance of Lord Shiva's position. So Nandishwar was affected by the cursing, but he did not follow the example of Lord Shiva who was also present there. So Shiva just silently left, right? He just tolerated and he left, but Nandishwar could not. On the other side, of course, as a follower, it was right for him not to tolerate an insult to his master. But he should not have cursed the Brahmanas who were present. The entire issue was so complicated that those who were not strong enough forgot their position, and thus cursing and counter cursing went on the great assembly. So the whole point is very powerful statement. The material field is so unsteady that even great personalities like Nandishwar, Daksha and many of the Brahmanas present were also affected by the atmosphere of anger. So this is like you cannot exactly say why it happened, who is right, who is wrong. You cannot give answers to these questions in this kind of situation. So nature of this material field is like that, that it creates, you know, unnecessary kalaha, different opinions and conflicts.
Quarrels.
And quarrels, like that. So text 21.
It's told that when your master is getting nuts in the nature.
Right, so Nandi's anger was justified, but how he expressed his anger, that is not justified. He should not have cursed all the class of Brahmanas itself. He should have dealt with Daksha personally. Like that. Next verse. Ya etanmrityam uddishya.
Ya etanmrityam uddishya.
Bhagavat apratidruhi.
Bhagavat apratidruhi.
Duhyat agyapitak drishtes.
Duhyat agyapitak drishtes.
Tattvato vimukho bhave.
Tattvato vimukho bhave.
Anyone who has accepted Daksha as the most important personality and neglected Lord Shiva because of envy, is less intelligent, and because of visualizing in duality, will be bereft of transcendental knowledge.
Mm. So the first point by Nandishwar is that anyone supporting Daksha. So what is Daksha's mentality? Identifying himself with one's body. Therefore Daksha had no transcendental knowledge, therefore they will be deprived of transcendental knowledge. Because he was acting very much on the bodily platform. So whoever supported that, they will permanently lose their transcendental knowledge and they will also become, they have to put the attitude like that. So Daksha had excessive attachment for the body in relation to body, wife, children, home and such things. Therefore Nandishwar has cursed so that anyone who supported Daksha would be bereft of transcendental knowledge. It sounds nice, right? I mean, it sounds not nice in a sense, right? Whatever he cursed, it's right. Because they were all behaving like that, none of them protested. So Nandi could have said, why these people didn't stop Daksha from cursing? Why did they allow Daksha to just go on like that? The moment, first time when he called him Markat Lochana, then itself they should have said, hey Daksha, mind your tongue. You cannot say that. But they were all listening and enjoying. So because they were enjoying, so this is the point. Until the crime is done, it is not the crime is not done only when the action is performed. Even mentally also, if you are enjoying and supporting the arguments, two parties are fighting and you are sitting and enjoying, you are neutrally sitting here, but even because mentally you are taking sides, they got reactions to that. See how powerful it works.
They say that supporting crime is
the also okay, yeah.
You should have cursed Daksha. He's cursing the assembly. That is the wrong part.
That is the wrong part actually, right?
You should have cursed Daksha.
He should have directed individually directed with Daksha. But then he ended up cursing. Because he also saw that Daksha had some followers. Some people were actually agreeing with him. So that was. So basically, it is not that everybody is 100% right or 100% wrong. But everybody had some issues. That negative tendencies are there in everyone. What happens when one person strongly presents that negativity is, it brings out that negative attitude in others also. It's like his negativity is like a sleeping dog right now. But when one bad dog barks loudly in an assembly, all the sleeping bad dog in others hearts also wake up. That is the big disservice that we do when we spread negativity in public forums. So then you end up creating a bigger damage to the system. Your bad dog has screamed because your bad dog has convinced you saying that this is a big injustice happening, you have to resolve it. Right? But if you don't go to the right forum, you will end up creating more bad dogs, and which you may think they are your partners and you are your supporters or whatever. But you have created a whole rift in the society in a bigger scale. Like that is a big issue. Then he continues. Griheshu kuta dharmeshu.
Griheshu kuta dharmeshu.
Tapto gramya sukhechaya.
Tapto gramya sukhechaya.
Okay, short break. Sometimes I used to wonder, you know, in my neophyteness, many times I used to find fault in many seniors. I used to wonder, they know that this is wrong, why are they not speaking? You know? Because there is something happening, you know, some indiscipline is happening or whatever. They know that some behavior is not good. Why are they not just snubbing it down? Right? So I used to think like that. But then, over the years later on, I realized that actually they very tactfully, expertly dealt the situation in such a way that a third person didn't even come to know what the problem was and what the solution they put out. That is how sometimes seniors work, because that all comes to maturity. So you may feel like, you know, a simple thing, and I mean stupid issues like some indiscipline of, you know, there are clothes lying in buckets in the ashram, nobody is not washing them. Why, you know, we should enforce a rule that if it's there for more than 12 hours immediately, you need it, you know, because when you have nothing else to do, your mind goes on all this. So then, so like that. So then you start protesting and all these things. But then they know what is important, what is not important. Then they'll expertly deal it in such a way that, you know, it's not about getting a process right. It's about making a devotee right. The devotee may not be expert in a particular process, you know, like a procedure. Aarti ka thik se nahi kar raha ya. Sevatik se nahi kar raha, whatever like that. So it's not just making him expert in that one task. There's a deep-rooted problem of either his insubordination or his indiscipline or maybe his some other things which are running in his background which are bogging him down and making him inattentive in his spiritual services and things like that. So senior devotees are very expert in sensing that. So they will deal it in such a way that, you know, and they cannot tell you all the details also, many times. Because that's like a breach of confidentiality that they have with. Because there are so many things that keep happening, and So they can't even explain the thing. So they are doing such a causeless service. Right? You can't even tell the details, and you ought to listen to galit from others for being ineffective and, you know, inefficient, you know, as if we are very efficient. And so I, many times I had such confrontations, and very politely I was handled. But now in retrospect, when I see that, you know, I see that, yeah, whatever was done was perfectly done, like that.
There is another side to this. If you do not address it on time, then somebody else may be walking in the same road, and because that issue was not addressed, he also followed that.
He thinks that that is right, that is okay.
Yeah, that was also my concern. But that's see, because we have seen only like 10 years, 15 years in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we don't know what emergency is. Right now, every situation we try to see in emergency mode only. Abhi karna hi hai, you know. But over a period of time, you will realize that there are some things which are best resolved when unaddressed. Some things are best resolved when immediately addressed. Some issues are best resolved when indirectly addressed. So, you know, this TPC is a very simple and practical answer, but it's not so easy to realize that answer. So, time, place, circumstance is TPC. So, it's not easy to apply that. So, you need some kind of wisdom, practical experience. So, many times, you know, they didn't become senior just like that, being hanging around in the ashram every day, and, you know, they actually burned their hands many times, and they learned through their practical wisdom. I have seen like that so many times in very grave, serious crisis situations, how they were like coolly, they were like, Prabhu, we have to act now, it's now or never, the fire is burning. And they were like, relax, it's just a little matchstick burning there. So I'll tell you what, because they are actually dealing with fires elsewhere. So they know, you know the Arjuna story, right? How to make the line smaller is to draw a bigger line like that, so they are actually giving a bigger problem. So from their perspective, you know, so because in our youthhood, in our neophyteness in Krishna consciousness, you know, that these are new, first time we are seeing this problem, right? So we feel, oh, this is such a big emergency, but they have already seen such cases, been there, done that, you know, like that. I know many of you, those of you who are preaching more, you have seen like the new bhaktas under you during any seva adoration, they are like, Prabhu, whatever, flowers nahi aaya abhi. Abhi toh flowers nahi aaya. Prabhu, flowers nahi aaya. You know, as the world is going to end with the flowers. So you are like, okay, relax, okay, we'll do this, figure out something else, you know, like that. So, you can see that. So, but again, there are also two sides to it. Some are very important and grave situations. So some need immediate attention, otherwise you'll end up.
It depends on the sometimes leader also, that he doesn't want to take a blame.
Yeah.
I will be the bad guy.
Correct. Yeah.
So he may try to postpone. Maybe time will teach him.
Time will teach him is one thing. But I think what happens generally due to like lethargy or complacency from the side of the leader, also they're like not. So, but we are not talking about that kind of cases. That is due to that they are not wise people anyway in the first place, so they are bound to make mistakes. So I'm talking about like wise people, sometimes it's very difficult to comprehend why something was done the way it was done. So you will never be given an explanation, and you will never know what the full picture is, but yet you are supposed to figure out, or at least be convinced intellectually, that it was the right thing that was done. So all these problems come with intellectuals only. Some simple person in the ashram is like, Mangal Aarti ho raha hai, Bhagwan darshan de rahe, prasad time se mil raha hai, seva achche se kar rahe, raat ko neend aa raha hai, stomach time se clearing ho raha hai, kapda time se dhulai ho raha hai, chola mala ho raha hai, bas. So simple was simple, that's your purpose. But the intellectuals, they're not happy that way, you know. Aisa kyu hua? Kya hua hoga? They start thinking, and so it's actually, again, it's their problem. Khujli, intellectual khujli jo hai na, So it doesn't satiate so easily. So we have to live with it. So this is for all the engineers in the audience. You are all contaminated with this khujli bug. Dimagi khujli. Yeah, like that. So then, third line. Karmatantram vitantute
Karmatantram vitantute
Vedavada vipannadi
Vedavada vipannadi.
Potentially, religious householder life in which one is attracted to material happiness and is also attracted to the superficial explanation of the Vedas robs one of all intelligence and attaches one to fruitive activities as all in all.
Like that. So this is the second thing that will happen to them. So they become pretentious religious householders in which, so they are leading that household life but only attracted to the artha, like that. So they are only attracted to all the flowery words of the Vedas which are there. They are attached to gramya sukha, which means material happiness without knowledge of the eternal spiritual blissful life, like that. Then
Buddhya paramidhyayina vismritatma gati pashu
Srikama sostavati taram
Dakshobastamukhochirat.
Daksha has accepted the body as all in all. Therefore, since he has forgotten the Vishnu Pad or Vishnu Gati and is attached to sex life only, within a short time he will have the face of a goat.
That's pronounced. Vidya buddhir avidyayam.
Vidya buddhir avidyayam.
Karma mayam asau jadah.
Karma mayam asau jadah.
Anantam ihat ye chamum.
Samsaratvi hari.
Anusharvavamaninam.
Those who have become as dull as matter by cultivating material education and intelligence are nesciently involved in intuitive activities. Such men have purposely insulted Daksha. May they continue in the cycle of repeated birth and death.
Like that. So
the goats are
dull creatures. Yeah. We have goats here, no? But of course, actually we bought both of them on the same gender. We bought both the goats of the same gender.
Daksha and Daksha.
But both are female only. So like that. Basically, the goats are dull creatures, not smart like cows or elephants or horses or something. So
they are standing in the
slaughter
line and still interested in the
draft. Yeah, that is one of the examples here, no? Yeah, yeah. But basically that's how it is. It's a very dull species of life. So the three causes mentioned above are sufficient to make one as dull as stone, devoid of spiritual knowledge, like that. So then
May those who are envious of Lord Shiva, being attracted by flowery language of the enchanting Vedic promises, and who have thus become dull, always remain attached to fruitive activities.
Like that. Then, Sarva bhakshadi javritte.
Vita vidya tapovrata.
Vitta dehendriya rama. Yachaka vicharantvaiha.
These brahmanas take to education, austerity and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They will acquire money begging from door to door simply for the satisfaction of the body.
Right. So you are seeing all these symptoms being displayed even till today also. Right? So they are, by birth they call this Brahmanas. They take up education, austerity and vows, but what is the purpose? Only to, it's an occupation for them. It's a profession of earning money so they can maintain the body. Right? And they don't even discriminate what to eat and what not to eat. So this is what was happening. So you can see, so third curse inflicted by Nandishwar and Brahmanas Sukhadaksha is completely functioning in the age of Kali. The so-called Brahmanas are no longer interested in understanding the nature of the Supreme Brahman. Like that. So Brahman means Brahma Janati to Brahmana. Brahmanas are dull.
Somebody who is properly doing Brahmanical service will not call Krishna.
Okay.
These are not all Brahmanas cursed. These are Brahmanas who followed in the side of that.
Yeah, not all
Brahmanas.
He's using rhetoric now. Okay.
But basically, they will not be affected.
Of course, so here it is meant against those people, the ritualistic Brahmanas, of course. Not me. So like that. So the qualifications of Brahmanas are described in scriptures, Vishwas, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vedic literatures. Brahmana is not a hereditary title or position. If someone from a non-Brahmana family tries to become a Brahmana by being properly qualified under the instruction of bona fide spiritual master, these so-called Brahmanas will object. Such Brahmanas, having been cursed by Nandishwara, are actually in a position where they have no discrimination between eatables and non-eatables and simply live to maintain the body. Like that. So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example is given, that how he had so many Shudra disciples, Haridas Thakur, Ramanandraya and so on. Like that. So, and he made them first class Vaishnava. Then, after having, now it is a time for counter curse. तस्येवं वदत शापम्
तस्येवं वदत शापम्
कृत्वादिज कुलाय वै
कृत्वादिज कुलाय वै
प्रत्येष जच्चापम्
मृगु प्रत्यस्तु जच्चापम्
ब्रह्मदण्डं दुरत्ययम्
ब्रह्मदण्डं दुरत्ययम्
In all the hereditary Brahmanas were thus cursed by Nandishwar. The sage Bhrigu, as a reaction, condemned the followers of Lord Shiva with his very strong Brahmanical curse.
The word Rudratya is particularly referred to Brahma Danda or curse by Brahmana. The curse of Brahmana is very strong, therefore it is called Duratyaya, insurmountable. Like that. So as Maya is Duratyaya, Brahma Danda is also Duratyaya. Like that. Yes, our Bhrigu. The material field is so unsteady that even great personalities like Nandishwar. The material field is so unsteady that even great personalities like Nandishwar, Daksha, and many of the Brahmanas present there were inflicted by the atmosphere of anger. That is the answer to your question. Daksha and Shiva are brothers.